So Claire, please come and bring us God's word. Thank you.
Good morning, church. The reading can be found on page 1223 and is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Page 1223. The Day of the Lord. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, did anyone notice any of the things that God wants us to think about? Anyone? Everyone's feeling shy. Go on, Sam. The day of the Lord's coming. Yeah. So when Jesus comes back. Yeah. Anything else? That's good. I came to church, not a Bible study. No. Go on, Caris. Yeah. God created the earth. Go on, let's go for one more. Sorry, Liz? And the earth will dissolve away. There'll be judgment. Great, thank you. Well, and those are great things that he's wanting us to think about, and we're going to think about those and a few others. So the first thing we're going to think about this morning is think. Don't forget the power of God's words. Because the people were telling lies about Jesus. They were saying this in verse 4. And I'm sorry, it isn't. The kids will be up in a moment and stuff. And I would normally be wandering around a bit, but this is a bit crackly. So I'm sticking with the lectern mic. But please look with me at verse 4. Chapter 3 and verse 4. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." And this is one of the lies that the false teachers were telling. They were saying, yes, Jesus came that first Christmas, and yes, he lived on earth and he died on the cross, but he is never coming back. What an untruth. What a lie. Yeah, it's the idea that Jesus is never coming back. And what does Peter say about this? Start of verse 5. But they deliberately forget. These people telling lies about Jesus coming back, they were doing so on purpose. Deliberately forgetting. But it wasn't just, don't we all fall into that trap sometimes? Do any of these sound familiar? "Mom, I'm sorry, I forgot to tidy my room." Anyone ever said that? When actually, they forgot on purpose. They knew they had to tidy the room. They just didn't want to do it. And I know I've done that. Any of the children ever done that? There's some parents pointing at kids at this point. What about this one? Mrs. Smith, I forgot to bring my homework into school today. When in reality, you'd only done half of your homework and you left it at home on purpose. Oh, one more. Dad, I forgot to brush my teeth last night. When in reality, you just didn't want to brush your teeth at all. Any happened in any households? Definitely. But it's not just the children, though. What about the adults? Oh, I forgot to put the bins out last night. But that's just a cover for the fact it was actually tipping it down with rain and you didn't want to go out there at all. It's so easy, isn't it, to forget things deliberately. Well, the false teachers were forgetting on purpose something far more important than putting the bins out. They were forgetting on purpose that Jesus would one day come back. And they even had a reason for lying. Please, at the end of verse 4, they say life just goes on and on and on for years and years and centuries and centuries. And because it's gone on and on, they say, Jesus is never going to come back. But Peter knows different. More importantly, God knows different. Verse 5 again. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. They deliberately forgot how God at the beginning of time, how God had said, let there be light, and there was light. How God had said, let the land produce living creatures, and then there was creatures all over the world. At the beginning of time, when God spoke, stuff happened. But it wasn't just at the creation, though, either, because then Peter reminds us of Noah and how God had used Noah. In the time of Noah, how God had brought a flood on the world and judged all the evil and nastiness that was there. Again, God speaking and the using the water brought the floods. But Peter wasn't just looking backwards, he was also looking forwards as well. Please look with me at verse 7. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. By the same word, this stuff will happen. Jesus will come back and judge the world. God's words are that powerful. I mean, think of a captain of a large ocean-going ship. And if the captain wants to change the direction of the ship, he'll say, all right, or she, could be a lady, and says, right then, we need to go to 50 degrees north. Now, unless it's a very small ship, usually the captain is not the one with the steering wheel. Is it called a steering wheel on a ship? Anyway, you know what I mean, anyway. But it's not, because the captain says it, and then the first mate or someone else is actually steering the ship, and perhaps someone else is controlling the speed. The captain speaks, and the first mate or whoever does the other things. But all the captain does is speak. Well, when God speaks, stuff happens. He doesn't even need to rely on the first mate. It just happens. God's words are that powerful. And these people telling lies about Jesus had forgotten this on purpose. They had forgotten that God, his words are powerful and that Jesus is coming back. He will come back. So for us guys, perhaps when people are saying, oh, those Bible-believing Christians, they're just a bit silly or perhaps much worse. When they say, you know, Jesus coming back, it's been 2,000 years. He'll never come back. God says, think. They're forgetting the power of God's words. And you don't forget the power of God's words. No matter how nasty or even how persuasive their lies are. So we've had think. Don't forget the power of God's words. Next, it's think. God is very patient. Please look with me at verse 8. Verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, the false teachers, they said Jesus' lack of return, the fact that Jesus hadn't come back yet, they said, that's an empty promise from God. But Peter knew the lack of Jesus' return was because God was so patience with people. Patient so that more and more people could come and find salvation, could come and know Jesus for themselves, so they wouldn't, end of verse 9, perish. God is so patient. But I wonder, how naturally patient are we? Children, would any of the children like a bag of sweets? Come on, if you'd like a bag of sweets, come and stand out at the front. You've got to come to the front if you want a bag of sweets. You want a bag of sweets, Noah? Come on, Sam. Sam wants a bag of sweets. Are you going to come and stand with him, Noah? You're not? No? Yeah, right. All right. We'll just do Sam then. That's fine. Right then. So, Sam, you'd like some sweets. Right, that's fine. Just right up there. Now, I just need to pop down to Asda to get them.
Okay.
So you wait there.
Yeah.
I'll be about 15 minutes. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
He says it's fine, but inside he's fuming. All right, Jay, I've got some here. I've brought some sweets. There we go. Some nice, not chocolate, I'm afraid, but they are Skittles. But actually, when I open a new pack, I like to open it really carefully. So, and we've got a pair of scissors. I don't want to just rip it open because that's just rude. Have you got some scissors? What's that?
It's a sword. All right, here we go. No, it's not sharp. All right. Are you being patient there, Sam?
Kind of,
right? I mean, being honest, at least. Actually, I brought some scissors. I thought I did anyway. Where are they? There we go. There we are. Get in there nice and tidily. Sorry, I'm not on the microphone. Nice and tidily, there we are. Brilliant. Right then. We're nearly there, Sam.
Nearly there.
Nearly there, yeah. Here we go. Now, I think it's important to eat sweets at the correct temperature. Right, you don't want them too hot or too cold. I think they just need to be at room temperature. I just think we need to count to 10 just to give them a little bit more time. Are we ready? So let's count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Do you think he's been patient enough? I think he has. There you go. You can, and other people can have a bag at the end as well. Now, there was patience being shown there. It wasn't easy. Some of it was on the inside, some of it was on the outside. And there's other things that we have to wait for much longer. And we struggle with it, don't we? We are not very good at patiently waiting for things that we want. But God is brilliantly patient. He was brilliantly patient at showing his patience towards the wayward people in the Old Testament. To God's people, and he was patient with them time after time. He's amazingly patient with Mike Walton. He's amazingly patient with you guys. He's even patient with those people who do not yet know and follow Jesus. Imagine a coach is picking up a group. He's gone down to Tilbury Fort with a group of tourists, and they say, "Right, go and have a good look around Tilbury Fort for the day, and you have to be back at 4 o'clock for us to take you back to the hotel, and then we can go on to our next destination the next day." But it comes to 4 o'clock, and only half of the people are back on the coach. And they sit down the coach, and a few more other people drift in. But it gets to 4:30, and they go, "No, mate, we're here on time. Come on, coach driver, it's time to go. You can drop us off and come back for them later or something else." But the bus driver, he wants to see everybody on board. He wants to get everybody safely back to that hotel. I mean, he even sends out perhaps out a few people to try to round up some of those latecomers. The bus driver is determined to get everyone back on that bus and taken safely onto their next destination. Well, for us, as Christians, as God's people, it's right that we should want to see Jesus. I mean, there's part of it which is good to say, "I want to see Jesus now." But God's purposes are always bigger, better, and fuller than ours. And that includes the Lord's time scale. He says, "Wait. We're waiting so I can bring more people into God's kingdom." Now, we have often, "God, why haven't you done this now?" You know what I mean? It often happens in our prayers, isn't it? God, we can be praying for really good things. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can pray for selfish things, which, you know what I mean, if God says no to, you know, not surprising. But we can be praying for good things, and we're thinking, "God, why don't you answer that prayer now?" But God's timing is always best. God is way more patient and wonderful than we think. And that's what we need to think about when people are dismissing the fact that Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is so. So we've had so far, think. Can we put them up, Camus, please? Don't forget the power of God's words. Think, God is very patient. Then last of all, think, judgment day will come. Please look with me at verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It's not just the fact that Jesus is going to come back. He will come back. It's also when Jesus comes back, he is going to judge the world. Everybody and everything. And for those people who don't know and love and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be nowhere to hide. Everything will be laid bare. It'd just be like people who go on holiday and leave all their doors and windows open in their house before they leave. They're just asking for disaster, aren't they? Well, that is the case for those people who are not Christians. But for those who are Christians, well, at that moment, we'll see and we'll feel in an astonishing way the salvation that Jesus has won for us. In a way we can't even imagine right now. But it will still be very real. So think, judgment day will come. But again, it's so easy, isn't it, to feel it's just such a long way away. You know, I mean, Jesus hasn't returned yet, and will he even return in the next 40 years? Well, let me ask, children, who do you think this person is? I know you guys have a bit of a clue. Does anyone else have any thoughts on who that might be? Noah, who do you think it is? it's me. Yeah, that was me a long, long time ago. And no, I don't know, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And if he'd asked me then, Mike, I was known as Michael back then, by the way. Michael, do you think you'll be around in 40 years' time? Anyway, as an 8-year-old, I thought, yeah, I'd hope to be, but I wouldn't be able to imagine what it's like. I couldn't imagine what 40 years away would look like. It would just be beyond my comprehension, you know what I mean? Even a couple of years in the future just felt like a million miles away. But 40 years? Well, here I am, guys. 40 years later, it's happened. But even more guaranteed is the fact that God isn't ignoring all the evil and suffering and pain in the world. People will answer for it. There will be a perfect judge. And that judge is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will judge on Judgment Day. End of verse 10, all will be laid bare. Now, you see, again, when people are telling lies about Jesus, it's easy for them to mock the biblical truth that God is going to judge the world. They say, oh, it's such an old idea. It's such a primitive idea. I mean, do you really think that in 21st century Britain? Well, they are wrong. We need to stop and think. Because God has told us very clearly here in 2 Peter, and to be honest, he tells us this very clearly all over the Bible, that he will judge evil once and for all. And that salvation can be found through faith in Jesus. Thinking about Jesus coming back to judge. Well, for Christians now, that should bring... it should raise quite a few emotions in us. I know it does for me. You know what I mean? There'll be the joy at seeing Jesus. Yes! There'll be amazement at Jesus' rescue. There'll be thankfulness that justice is being done. There'll be sadness for those who spent their life rejecting Jesus, who faced God's perfect judgment without the rescuer, that is Jesus. But for now, think. Judgment Day will come. So as we close, when someone is giving you a hard time for being a Christian, and it does happen, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just those little nibbles, sometimes it's more in your face. Or when people call themselves Christians and they sneer at the Lordship of Jesus, at the power of God's word, when they sneer at the idea that Jesus is going to come back one day and that he will judge. God wants us to think about Jesus' certain return. It won't make the situation you're in automatically easy. It'll still be difficult. But he says, if God will be putting your feet onto a steady foundation in the storms of life, you'll be able to stand against the battering of those winds. But even more importantly, remember chapter 1 and verse 8? We read it a few weeks ago. Just turn back there, please. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Priest has just been explaining how he wants us to grow in various types of everyday godliness. And then he says this, verse 8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." You want to be effective and productive for Jesus? Oh, I hope so. And part of that productiveness, yes, it's through growing in that everyday godliness that we saw a few weeks ago, but it also comes through our knowledge in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Knowledge that one day Jesus will definitely come back. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be effective for you. We want to be productive for you and your kingdom. We want to see your fruit in our lives, Father. And thank you that the Holy Spirit lives in us to help us with that every day. And you help us in so many ways. But we pray, Father, that you'll help us to remember. Help us to think of that day when Jesus comes back. And particularly, Father, when people are telling lies about Jesus or trying to knock us off course. Keep us holding on to that wonderful truth, that wonderful reality. And to help us keep thinking, Father, to never not turn our brains off. We know and we trust and we love you, Father. But you made us to be thinking people. So keep us thinking. But keep us thinking about things particularly which make a big difference, such as the return of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.